Okay, let's come back together. What we're going to do now, let's come back together. Whoa. Unruly bunch. I don't. Conversation has been vital. It's been great. What I'd like to do is work kind of quickly to draw a picture of what we are as a diocese as a whole in light of our being called out into vocation, the context in which we are now called today, and something of our sense of ourselves in the midst of that. And who knows what this is going to look like? And we're not going to build anything into the future out of this at this point at all, because that's not the job of this group. We have to figure out whose job that is, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's draw just some stuff out about something about the factors in the history of the Diocese of Virginia that have molded and shaped us into who we are today. And I'd like to ask for one thing from each of the tables in this section. Back table. Vestry system. Clergy were subject to those vestry contracts in the colonial days and afterward. Yes, okay, thank you. And it was Virginia who didn't want to have bishops, wasn't it? Okay, another table. Another table, another something else from our history. Another table. Yes. You were the established church. Nobody could perform a wedding in Virginia unless they were an Episcopal priest. For years. Legislature voted favors for the Episcopal Church in the diocese. And the Episcopal Church was subject to that also.
And then it all
did. Well, not all of it. Do you pay taxes on your property? Can clergy still sign licenses? Do clergy get, this is federal stuff now, special tax privileges? Not all of it. It's funny, we say we're not established, but in some ways we are. And that raises the question within this great experiment of the United States, well then, how do you become a religion and get these privileges also? That's in front of us. Interesting. Civil War, what about the Civil War? Separatism?
We said that the Episcopal Church didn't demise during the Civil War and proclaimed at least some form of unity in the practice.
Well, it did divide. It did divide. But after the war, it came back together with forgiveness, full forgiveness and membership and everything, absolutely. But it sort of did divide during the Civil War. On both sides, true Anglicans. Good, good to know. Another table, yes.
To go back to the beginning, when the church came to support the tolerance, not the gospel along so-called youth.
So it was, the church was established here to support the settlers, the colonists. And it was not to Christianize Native Americans, or some of that did happen, but not a whole lot. And it was not to Christianize necessarily the slaves, although some of that happened also.
It provided continuity and order.
Right. Another table, history. Things that affected us and made us who we are as the diocese.
Well, after the revolution, all the disappearance of clergy created opportunity for lay people, and the whole emphasis on reaching
It was always tough to get clergy here. And one of the things I understand is the parishes were so dispersed that clergy just lived out there by themselves and felt so isolated they just wanted to go home. A number of things. And after the revolution, we had that happen in Connecticut. Sam Seabury was elected bishop in Connecticut. He was the second choice, by the way. First guy didn't go, wouldn't go. But he was loading people on ships in Brooklyn to go to Nova Scotia when he was notified of his election. I mean, yeah, we had people disappearing up in our area too, a lot after the revolution. Other things from our history. Another table. Yes. Same table. No, another table.
Well, it's the fact that the love church approach to Anglicanism is so much part of the DNA of the society, led to a very strong sense of congregationalism, which at this table we believe has a lot to do with the ongoing use of the Virginia plan as far as giving the life of the diocese.
You all know what that means? You all could hear that? Okay. My understanding is it's voluntary giving, basically. The Diocese of New York, if you don't meet your assessment, you lose your place in vote and voice in convention. Very different. Very different. Anything else from our history? Yes. Okay, you were not among the earliest people to want bishops in to be part of the larger game. Right. I think that's correct. Yeah. Not immediately, right. Right. Anything else from history? Just looking at some notes. By the way, have you all seen this magazine? This is, it's the Virginia Historical Society magazine from sometime. And it's the whole magazine is dedicated to your history as the diocese. It should be absolutely essential reading for everybody. And I think there are some copies here.
In the bookstore.
In the bookstore? Okay. And I think there may be even some copies not in the bookstore. I don't know. But read this if you haven't. It is fascinating. Fascinating. Okay. Anything else? Anything we've left out? I'm going to suggest one thing we haven't mentioned so far that's formed us and shaped us in our history as the Diocese of Virginia, and that's God. God. Seriously, God. A story. I was called to serve as rector in a parish in Connecticut, and we sat around. And the calling committee and the vestry were all together, and we're all sitting around feeling very good about ourselves. This is the agreement had just been worked out. And someone said, what do you find interesting about us or challenging? And I said, one of the things I found really interesting and challenging about this parish is nowhere in your parish profile is God ever mentioned. And it was true. It was true. So I'm just encouraging us to think of God who has shaped us, called us, and formed us as part of who we are. Great. Okay, let's take a look at, where do we go next? Oh, the factors that we're looking at today, the stuff that is around us, perhaps giving us vocation, calling us out that out of the gospel that we might see we need to respond to. Yes? You're quick. Yeah, good. Yes. Yeah, yay. Yes.
I'll tack on to the incarnate Christ. We had a good discussion of technology and social networking. That this is a monumental relationship. The incarnation is a good foil.
Yeah, how do we respond to this phenomenon? And when we're saying we need to be together, eye to eye, so forth, and the world is saying, no, I'll check you on my iPhone. Yeah, good question. What else is around us calling us? Yes?
Government.
Say some more. Like, I'm putting government behavior, I don't know how to... It's part of the context in which you are living. That's absolutely right. Yes, it does. It absolutely affects our culture. Yes, thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, expectations around time. Interesting. Other things, yes.
That in the midst of sociological, ethnic, racial change, the Episcopal Church can give flexibility and stability.
I'm apologizing for this handwriting. It's not for you. It's for whatever you want to do with it afterward. If someone can read it afterward. Okay, thank you. Anything else around us?
We've talked a great bit about mobility, the whole number of stuff that's coming back. The practice is the generations no longer each other. Generations that mobility of government workers, they're always bringing them out and pumping on the road.
You know, the immigration, the thing about love your neighbor as yourself. There's also lots of love the alien as yourself. Interesting, interesting. Okay? Yes? Yeah, because it doesn't fit that mold. I remember I was visiting a guy in prison who was in 25 to life, and I could not do a thing for his, you know, portfolio, if you will, his resume, and yet he wanted to meet. So I knew it was genuine. So I couldn't do anything for him in terms of that stuff. Exactly, right. What about Islam? You got Islam? Should. Growing leaps and bounds, at least in our area. And it's the Muslims who are coming to the Christians and saying, we want to work with you. Could we be partners with you in soup kitchens, building houses? Will you come to our convention? And I said, yes. Islam, yes. Yeah. Look at Sunday mornings. Right. Yes. Right. One more. Yes. And how do we make room for the person who's different? Yeah, how many of us speak Farsi? How many of us speak Spanish? How many of us, how can we sort of do, yeah. Mil gracias. Yes. Okay, thank you. Let's go to the third part then. How do we appear? What do we look like? What do we think of ourselves? Adjectives, words to describe us as a diocese. Large. You are large. How so? How is?
Because we're large and historic and
the Episcopal Church. Not the National Church, the Episcopal Church. Thanks. I know. It's vocabulary. I know. Yeah. Okay. Centrist. What else would describe the Diocese of Virginia? Yes. So it's a plus and it's a minus. What else? Another table. Yes. Thank you. Okay. We're going to give two checks to that one. Okay, good. Why are they underpaid? Can't settle it tonight, but at least got to raise it. Good, okay. Thank you for that. Yes. Yeah, there's a sense of belonging, even if it's big.
Exactly.
Yes, thank you, yes.
We talked about the sense of our diocese from people who are not part of the diocese.
Good, what'd you find?
One of the shares was that we are, from other Christians, we are out of touch with the biblical tradition.
I put that down as caught up with problems. I'll just try to condense that, if that's all right. Thanks. Diversity in how we worship. Okay, thanks, yeah. I mean, looking around at us tonight, yeah. Okay, anything else?
There is. The cathedral of the diocese is up the hill. And that's very unusual.
Yes.
Because the cathedral is the place where the bishop's seat is, where God's people gather from time to time, like around. Gathering around the Father, his Father. And that is, I don't know, it's always cost prohibitive, but I think it is something we can travel around.
A cathedral. Yeah, just to reflect on that, again, from this bishop's perspective, I know that when we were just in embroiled in bubbling and boiling and so forth, that our cathedral became a place of sanctuary where we could meet and talk. You know, we had a central place. It was kind of nice. Just to say that, not saying one thing or another about that, but just saying that. Anything else about, yes? So this bishop thing didn't work out too bad for you. Good. That's great. One more. Yes. Good. Do you have lots of youth who are chalice bearers in your parish? Lots of youth who are chalice bearers? Remember, if they're confirmed, they're in. Yeah, okay. Good, great. Keep up the work with you. Thank you. Okay. Not going to try to boil this down particularly, but it was really just to get us, in a sense, in touch with ourselves as the Diocese of Virginia. What I'd like to do is conclude with just a couple of things, some stuff that I would like to offer to you as you regroup and recapture the sense of diocese, and then some thoughts about bishops, really quickly. Encouragement to think about us as us as us. I've already talked about that, the vocabulary thing. Language change from I to we. It's our parish. It's not my parish. It's our diocese, that kind of thing. That way there's no us and them. It's just us. Let's see. Scripture. Test everything and read your Bibles. Read your Bibles like crazy. It's one of the best things. Tomorrow night at the stewardship stuff, we're going to open up some Bible stuff that maybe, you know, needs to be looked at a second time. I'm going to suggest recovering teaching ministries in parishes, that every parish have clear teaching ministries for everybody, youth, nursery, through 106, that there be teaching ministries and expectations for everybody in that, and particularly the clergy recover that, and encouraging the bishops to recover their teaching ministry. Do you know that the business of the chair in front of the congregation, that's the traditional teaching place for the bishop. And the bishop sat in the chair to teach for 2 to 3 hours. That's why the chair's there. It was not necessarily originally a place of confirming. It's a teaching place. And for all of us to recover the teaching ministries in our churches, not necessarily post-denominational. We don't know our denomination in some ways in our church and so forth. Service. I would ask that every one of us here have an identified ministry as a diocesan person. Don't wait to be called and invited onto a committee. If every priest and deacon would have an identified diocesan ministry that you do, and it may be simply calling the priest in the next parish once in a while saying, hey, how are you? But something that every one of us does in ministry within and for the diocese. Every single person to have that as an identified ministry. Invitations. When you're doing something, think of your bishops and invite them. I have to tell you that serving as bishop in a large diocese is like standing on Virginia Beach and not knowing where to put my foot in the water because there's so much sand and so much water. And if you invite your bishops to come, and if they can, perhaps they will. So think of including your bishops in everything that you do. Sorry, Shannon. You know, in everything that you do, think of including your bishops. Absolutely, think of including them. Invite them. Witnessing. Get out there as a parish community, as a diocese in the public sphere. Get out there so that when you have a tag sale or rummage sale or something, publicize it. That St. James is having a rummage sale, and this whole thing is for the benefit of the volunteer fire department. Love to have you come. Get out in the community and bring the gospel out into the community to get the word out in public, get ourselves out in public, and work with other religious leaders. We talked a little bit about that this afternoon. And prayer. This absolutely amazes me. There is no prayer in the prayer book for the diocese, except for a church convention. I mean, our prayer book doesn't ask us to pray for our diocese. So get a prayer created and pray it. Pray it in church, for sure. Liturgy. Remember when we changed the creed from I to we, some of you old-timers, and what a difficulty that was? Well, there it is. That's the vocabulary change that we needed. When you hear Scripture read on Sunday morning, think of it as addressing the whole parish and not just you individually. The call to vocation and the judgment. Think of it as the diocese. Intercession and petitionary prayer for the whole parish and for the diocese. In addition to the bishops, thank God you pray for us. Because I will tell you, there are some situations we go into where someone might say, you don't have a prayer. And my response is, oh, yes, we do. And it's you. So please, please pray for your bishops. But pray for the whole diocese and its witness. Confession of the church's sin. For the priest to kneel with the congregation and for the congregation to confess its sin. Its unfaithfulness to the gospel. And ask forgiveness as a congregation. And seek repentance. Did you do anything down here with the General Convention impetus around slavery? We asked each diocese to explore slavery and the church's involvement in it. We did in Connecticut. Do you know that Connecticut, Eastern Connecticut, was a whole series of plantations growing food with slaves to feed the slaves down in the islands? And that the sugar cane was sent to Connecticut and then made into rum and sent back to the islands to keep slaves drinking? And that the woolen mills in New England made their fortunes off the slave labor on the cotton fields? We had and that clergy in Connecticut owned slaves, and it wasn't abolished slavery until, I think, 1818 there. We were the last New England state to do that. We took a look at that as a diocese, and each parish in communities began researching its history, and we got together for a full day and told our stories, and then we went to the altar and confessed. The church can repent of the way we use money, the way we don't, of our care for the neighbor or lack of it. Think of the confession as the church's confession, acts of repentance, thanksgivings. Build in thanksgiving prayers for the church and what's happening there that the Lord has blessed you with. Build them into the prayers of thanksgivings. And finally, visit a Moravian church. Now, you don't have many of them here. You have two in Virginia, and I have no idea where they are. Ararat, Virginia? And Cana, both in the Diocese of Southern Virginia. Okay, sorry. Have to come north to Maryland or come to Staten Island. We've got five of them there. Anyway, Winston-Salem, absolutely. Moravians, when they worship, and we had the privilege at the House of Bishops having Moravian elders in to worship with us, because we're now in full communion with the Moravian Church. Their liturgy blew me away. It was a liturgy of the community, asking God to bless the community. And it was all centered with song, an incredible song. It was about the us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing to us, this community. And asking you to forgive us. It wasn't about the individuals. Worship in the Moravian Church captures this kind of thing. So anyway, I really ask you to recommend it. Generosity, sacrifice, not survival. If Jesus had wanted to survive, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. It's about sacrifice for the sake of the gospel and living in the gospel and so forth. Generosity. Did you watch William and Kate get married? Yeah. A lot of people did. Did you hear the Bishop of London's sermon? Whoa. Be generous as your God has been generous to you. Oh, canonize him. Hospitality and have clear expectation of members. Clear expectations for members about the community. A few words about Bishop. I'm going to finally quit. If I may. The diocese is thus with our bishops to live in and present the gospel, to speak the vision. Think of your bishops as ringleaders and dancers. Ringleaders in a circus with all the acts going on and so forth. The encouragement, they're calling out of the acts, they're bringing attention to the acts, whatever and so forth. And as a dancer, help your bishop to be apostolic. One of the hardest things I realized when I ended my episcopacy was I was not in public in the way that I think God calls us to be in front, speaking for the church, to be apostolic. Had met with the governor, had met with the senators, and it's interesting, as you encourage your bishops to do that, your bishops are their peers. And they want to hear from us. Because we go to the government, and it was Senator Lieberman's staff who said this to me, you come to us and you don't want something for yourself. Everybody else who visits with us wants something for themselves. You don't. So we want to listen to you because you're thinking beyond yourself. So your local politicians, if they're savvy enough to understand that, in the towns, in the state governments, in the national governments and so forth, for us all, in particular our bishops, to be out there. The bishop is someone who holds the cauldron of the community and lets it boil and isn't going to put out the fires, but is going to let it boil, but is going to work to see that it doesn't boil over. On the other hand, if the fire goes out, it's cold. So bubble away, Virginia, and let your bishops work with you to let the Spirit and Word work with you in that whole life, to be an encourager for you, to be a teacher of Scripture. And please always tell your bishops the truth. There's a saying in the House of Bishops that when you come to bishops, it's the last time you hear the truth about anything. You know? It's true in some ways. Look your bishop in the eye and speak the truth. And let your bishop look you in the eye and speak the truth that he or she sees. Speak the truth back and forth to your bishops. Nothing else can we build on in Christ than the truth. Please, 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 please. So that together we may live and serve as a people called out, bound by God into vocation, filled with gifts of grace, bounty, and love, formed for the glory of God, who gives such love and new life for the world in Jesus Christ, that it's the best and the most important way that there could be to live. So thank you for living it. End. Thank you. I think it's near time for Compline. So we don't have time for questions and discussion. I apologize, I really ran on. Repentance, forgiveness, and so, but as we talk in the course of the week and individual conversations, happy to do that. Thank you very much.